Morning, I'd like us to talk about the idea of the pillar. And particularly, we're speaking about the pillar of cloud and fire that the Israelites saw when they were traveling about the wilderness, and see how that applies to us today. What I'd like to do first then is read from Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 17, it's written, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved on from Sukkot and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." When we think about this, we can just imagine the magnificence, perhaps, that they saw this pillar of cloud. And at night, this pillar that had fire in it. It's just amazing. And just as a side note, yet the people continued to murmur, continued to really question God. And as a matter of fact, that's what was said of them later on. But let's look at the pillar. We want to look first at the nature of the cloud. So if we look at Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 10 and 11, and also verses 16 through 18, we'll see that this is not necessarily that cloud that was leading them, but it was a cloud of God, a pillar of cloud. And so it could have been the same one. But in Exodus, the 19th chapter, starting in verse 10, it's written, "The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Starting in verse 16, "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. The whole mountain trembled greatly." So in this instance, instead of having a pillar to lead them about where they ought to go, we see God's presence both in the cloud and in the fire as God is about to give his word to Moses on Mount Sinai. And we see in another place, in Exodus, the 40th chapter, and verses 34 and 35. Now, we're later on, and we're talking about the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle, we might say. Starting in verse 34 of Exodus chapter 40, it's written, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So here we see that pillar of cloud is now filling the tabernacle. It's on the tabernacle itself, and it's so thick that Moses couldn't see to go in. It was too thick for him to enter. And then also in Leviticus, the 16th chapter and verse 2, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 2. Once again, they're receiving instruction about the tabernacle and the things that they're supposed to do as priests. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, it's written, "And the Lord said to Moses, Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Once again, we have this cloud that shows God's presence. And what we're seeing here then, when we look at the cloud during the day and the cloud with fire in it during the night, this cloud that covered the mountain of Sinai, the cloud that covered the tabernacle such that it was so thick that Moses couldn't enter in, this cloud represents the presence of God. God is here in both the cloud and the fire. And it was a constant thing. And it was an unfailing guide when we think about that pillar of cloud that led them through the wilderness. And if we look in Leviticus chapter 51 and verse 10, we realize that God didn't ever leave them alone. So Isaiah chapter 54, starting in verse 10, well, just verse 10, it's written, "For the mountains may depart, and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." We see here that where the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the cloud that covered the tabernacle, the cloud that was upon the mercy seat, that all these things showed the presence of God and also showed that God was always with them. That was one of the purposes of that particular thing. And when we get to Isaiah then, it talks about the fact that his steadfast love shall not depart from you. God is showing them that indeed it was his desire to always be with them and to always be leading them with what he was presenting before them. The pillar also was for the defense of Israel. If we look at Exodus, the 14th chapter, in verses 10 and 11, and then also in verses 18 through 20, we'll see what the pillar of cloud did for them in sort of rescuing them, you might say, from the Egyptian army. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 10, it's written, "When Pharaoh drew near the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?'" Jumping down to verse 18. "And the Egyptians shall know," now this is God talking to Moses here, "and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood now behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night." So this definitively shows that God is with the people of Israel, and that he is protecting them from the Egyptians in this case, and the cloud has moved between them, and now the Egyptians are, I guess, in a state of confusion. They don't know what to do, so they just stop. And we see that it happens all through the night, and the cloud is still there, but we see there's fire in it in the night. "It lit up the night," it says, "without one coming near the other all night." And then in Psalms, the 46th chapter, in verses 1 through 3, and then also in verse 7, we see another discussion about the fact that the Lord stays with his people. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3, it's written, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So just like we see in his protection of them from the Egyptians in Exodus 14th chapter, once again we see a reiteration here by David in the Psalms, the fact that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God has told the people that he will care for them, protect them, and lead them in the way. The pillar, then, was the defense of Israel. We can see that. And that was also the joy and the confidence of Israel. So we see that they had joy through the presence of God. And we need to ask ourselves, then, what greater joy can we have than our confidence in the presence of God? And they would have seen that also in the fact that God showed them that he was with them. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." So in Deuteronomy also, we understand that this is the time when also the pillar was with them, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud with fire in it by night. He'll not leave you or forsake you. And so he's told them that, and he's made sure that they understand that he is with them all the time. So not only was it the defense of Israel, but they could be joyful and confident in the presence of God at all times. The pillar was there when God spoke to the people. And it's where God spoke to the people. If we look in Exodus, the 33rd chapter and verse 9, so once again, we're back to they're in their wilderness wanderings. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 9, "When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses." And once again, we see the presence of God showing in the cloud that now is at the at the entrance to the tabernacle. And in Psalms, the 99th chapter and verse 7, we see this spoken of by the psalmist here, Psalms 99 and 7. It's written, "In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them." Now, as we think about the wilderness wanderings that they made, certainly they didn't keep his testimonies and the statute that he gave them very, very faithfully, but he was with them nonetheless. As a matter of fact, he mentioned to Moses a couple of times that he was ready to destroy the people. And Moses pleaded for the people. God said, "Okay, I'll be with them." But they needed to understand that he was there in their presence. In the pillar of the cloud, he spoke to them. So that the pillar was there when God spoke to the people, that it was the confidence that Israel could have in God, and it was the defense of Israel. We understand that God is our rock or our pillar. We see that mentioned then. Now we have a sort of a change in terms here to a certain extent. We look at Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4, it's written, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." So here in Deuteronomy, Moses, I think it is, speaking, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect." So here, God is called the rock. Now we see also that God is also shown in the cloud, still at this time in Deuteronomy, but we see that he's spoken of in that way. And then we have sort of, I think, an allusion to that, or an actual direct reference to it, you might say, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verses 1 through 4, actually. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4. It's written, "I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Now we have a further definition of what we're talking about when we're talking about the pillar or the cloud. So when Paul speaks to our brethren in Corinth, and he says that they were all under the cloud, that they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud, they drank from the spiritual rock, the rock was Christ. When we look at back at some of their wilderness wanderings, we realize that they physically drank of water that God gave them, but we understand also that as God was following them, that we see that indeed it's the Christ that is there with them. The rock was Christ, it says. And we can compare this to what Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria in John, the 7th chapter, in verse 37. John 7, 37. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not the right one. John 7, 37, it's written, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" And so we see in 1 Corinthians where it says that they drank from the spiritual rock, these people in the wilderness wanderings, the people of Israel. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now it says, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So now Jesus is equating himself with this whole lineage, you might say, of the pillar of God and what he is and how he shows his presence to his people and how he's ever with them. And he says that because he's the spiritual rock, that now people need to come to him and drink. And then in John, the 6th chapter, and in verse 6 and 35, Jesus speaking to the people again. It's written starting in verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So once again, just like it says that the rock was Christ and they all drank from that spiritual rock, we see now once again that Christ is not only giving them his living water to drink, but also the spiritual food. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So when we look at the pillar, we understand that it was a symbol of the character of Christ, this pillar that God set up. It's the symbol, as we mentioned, of God's presence. So in Matthew, the 1st chapter and verse 23, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it's written, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. But just like God was with them in the wilderness wanderings, the cloud in front of them to lead them in the way, and on the tabernacle, and such alike as that, and the many ways that he manifested himself through a cloud, we see that what it's talking about is that God is with them. And so that's been emphasized to them in the things that God has shown them. It's the symbol of God's presence. We see also in John, the 1st chapter, in verse 14, it's written, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this pillar that we saw in the Old Testament is now symbolizing this character of Jesus Christ, the symbol of God's presence. And in Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 9, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So we see here the equivalence of the God who spoke to them, the God who led them in the wilderness, and Jesus Christ now on this earth, God on this earth. So the pillars symbolize the true character of Jesus Christ. And it also symbolizes his redeeming work. And that's what he was here for. In Matthew, the first chapter and verse 21. Matthew, the first chapter and verse 21. Is sort of a continuance of what we read. It comes just before what we read earlier in Matthew 1:23. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now we see that with the pillar, God saved the people from the Egyptians. The pillar of smoke, the pillar of fire, we're going to get it, pillar of cloud, saved the people from the Egyptians. Here now it says, talking about Jesus Christ, that we see that he's the redeeming, he brings redeeming work to this world. He will save his people from their sins. The Son of Man, it says in verse 19, chapter 19 of Luke, in verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Of course, God, in coming down in the pillar of cloud and fire, he sought his people, and he sought to save them from the physical problems that they were having at that time. And of course, we see later on, as we go through the Old Testament, and we see the usages of the cloud, we see, and many times it was to protect them, to keep them from harm. Also in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in verse 15. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in verse 15. God once again talks about Jesus' work on this earth. When Paul writes to Timothy, he says in verse 15, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." But Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to save sinners, just as the pillar of cloud was to save the people of Israel back in the Old Testament. Jesus is now being symbolized as this pillar was. And in John, the third chapter and verse 8, John chapter 3 and verse 8, it's written, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Well, the Son of God appeared just like the cloud appeared for the people of Israel back in the olden days. Here we see that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Once again, the pillar, in this instance, Jesus Christ, appeared to save the people from the works of the devil. The pillar also symbolized Christ as the light and also the guide of mankind. And we see that particularly spoken of several times in the Gospel of John in the first chapter. But if we look at John the 12th chapter first, in verse 46, Jesus specifically says to them, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Well, Jesus came as light. He's the pillar of light, just like at nighttime. The pillar was there to help guide the people, and there was fire in it. So there was light in that pillar. We see that mentioned when the pillar stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites before they're getting ready, as they're getting ready to go into the Red Sea. In John, the first chapter and verse 4, Now we have, once again, sort of a definition of who Jesus is. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So as the pillar lit the way for them at night to know where to go, Jesus then is the light of men. He shows us the way to go. Through him, he is our pillar of strength before us. In John, the 8th chapter and verse 12, Jesus himself says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. So that pillar symbolizes Jesus. And Jesus is the definition, you might say, of that pillar of presence of God before us, before all his people at all times. In John, the 14th chapter and verse 6, of course, we all know this one and can quote this, where Jesus says in John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the pillar of truth, came to us, and we are to follow after him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to do that. So the pillar symbolized Jesus as light and also as a guide, but it also symbolizes his presence with us and with the church. And just like the cloud in the sky that God put there, he's our guide and he's our protector. And he's the one through whom God speaks. So you remember when the pillar came upon the tabernacle and Moses was there, it said that God spoke to him at that time. And so Jesus speaks to us, he being the pillar that comes before us also. So just like the pillar of cloud came upon the tabernacle for God to speak to Moses, so indeed the pillar of Jesus Christ comes to us to speak with us, because God speaks through him to us. And that's what we need to hold on to. And Matthew, the 17th chapter and verse 7, or 5. Matthew, the 17th chapter and verse 5. This is where they're up on what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says that he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So Peter was speaking at that particular time. He was saying, well, let me set up three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, who were all speaking together up there on the mountain. And he's told, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So Moses and Elijah, you might say, are excluded here. It is Jesus, the Christ, to whom they are to listen. In Hebrews, the first chapter, and verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it's written, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So just as the pillar of God came down to the tabernacle to speak to Moses, so also Jesus Christ came down to this earth to speak to us. He says, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus is the beginning of all, and Jesus is our pillar to whom we can hold on to. In symbolizing Christ's presence with his church, Jesus, of course, said in Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verses 18 through 20, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it's written, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So as the pillar was with the people of Israel the whole time that they were traveling in the water, in the wilderness, so Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." So as we think about these things, if we think about who Jesus is in relationship to the pillar that God was or created, you might say, in the time of their wilderness wandering and thereabouts. If we think about that, we understand that pillar is where God spoke to his people. And Jesus then is symbolized by that pillar. And he is the symbol of God's presence, just as God's cloud was a symbol of God's presence. It shows that Jesus is our light, that he's our guide, that he's present with us all the time. And so we need to ask ourselves then, when we talk about the pillar of cloud that we saw with the people of God in the wilderness, and the pillar that we see of Jesus Christ as he lives among us in our spirits today, we understand that we need to ask ourselves, will we embrace the pillar that's Jesus Christ? Because he is the one that is standing before us. He is the presence of God, and he will be always with us. And so we have to ask ourselves, will we do that, or will we fall because we don't believe, as Israel did when they were in the wilderness? In Hebrews, the third chapter, verses 7 through 13, we are admonished by the writer of the Hebrew letter. Hebrews, the third chapter, starting in verse 7, it's written, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray with their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So in the admonition that's given by the Hebrew writer to our brethren, to us, we understand that we're not to harden our hearts, that we need to embrace that pillar that is Jesus Christ today, much like the people, you might say, embraced the cloud of pillar before them at that time, because they knew that when God followed, or when they followed that pillar, that they were following God. And so they embraced that guidance there. We need to exhort one another every day to be the kind of people that Jesus has shown us that we ought to be by his example in being our pillar of faith. And so that's my lesson for today. I hope that it brought some help to you, as it did as I was studying this. And we need to make sure that as we end any particular lesson or any assembly of the Lord's church, that we need to mention how important it is for us all to obey the gospel, and for those who have not become Christians to become Christians. We need to hear the word of God. And in James, the first chapter, verse 21, it's written, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with weakness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." That word needs to be within us, implanted within us as a seed. And the word is called the seed within the New Testament. And then we need to understand that we need to believe the gospel message that's been proclaimed through that word of God. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6, is written, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." He rewards those who seek him. That's important for us to remember also. We need to repent of the sins that we've committed. In Acts, the 3rd chapter and verse 19, when the second gospel message is proclaimed before the people there, it says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." That's kind of the definition of repentance, is the turning again, the turning around from the things that you were doing. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse 32, it's written, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." We need to do these things because God has commanded us to do them in order to become a Christian. And we need to be immersed in water. In Acts, the 2nd chapter and verse 38, it says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Once we've done those things, once we've heard the word of God, once we've believed that word of God, and once we've repented of our sins and confessed before other people that Jesus is the Son of God, and we're immersed in water, baptized for the remission of our sins, then we need to remain faithful our entire lives once we become a Christian, because that's what we need to do to become a Christian. We need to stay stable the whole time that we are alive in believing and holding on to that pillar that is Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Let's not believe in vain. Let's make sure that the things we do because God told us to do them, and it's the thing that we want to do because we believe in God, and we're ready to hold on to that pillar. That's the pillar of Jesus Christ, where he teaches us to live our lives properly. So if there's anything that we can do to help you to become a Christian, if you haven't been one yet, if you haven't become one yet, or if you are a Christian and you haven't done what God wants you to do, you've lived a life that is inappropriate or improper, and you could use the prayers of the brethren to help you to be stronger, or if there's something in your life that you could use the prayers and consideration of your brethren for, please let it be known while we stand and sing this song.